Hello and welcome to the Regeneration Ministries podcast. My name is Josh Glazer. I'm the Executive Director of Regeneration, and we are here to help you and your loved ones grow in sexual, relational, and emotional wholeness. Each week in this podcast, we're going to tackle different topics that will help you do just that. Welcome, friends. We are excited today to be starting Regeneration's podcast. And we're going to start somewhere different than many of you might expect. I'm here with Kit Elmer from Regeneration's team, and we're going to be talking about intimacy. And so, Kit, I'm just going to toss a question your way. When a lot of people think about Regeneration over the last 30 years of being in ministry, 30 plus years of being in ministry, they'll think about kind of intense sexual issues, pornography, homosexuality, sexual abuse. But we, as a staff, when we gather to talk about where do we want to begin if we're going to address people where they are, we decided we're going to talk about intimacy. So what's your sense of why we decided that we're going to start by talking about intimacy?
When we meet with people, it always comes down to intimacy, with God, that they, whatever their presenting issue is, as we talk and as we pray, we realize that there is some brokenness in their sense of who God is, how he feels about them, how he sees them. And so that intimacy with God and also intimacy with others becomes this really important issue. And the intimacy with others, we realize it's very broken. Like, we do not necessarily know how to have healthy intimacy. But as we talk about it, we realize that there are ways that we can learn how to love ourselves, how to love God, and then be able to love others in a more healthy way.
Yeah. Okay. So right from the, get-go, we have to kind of step back and ask this question. Like, how do we define intimacy? I didn't think I grew up thinking about intimacy in this way, but as I got older, I found that there were a lot of people, when I used the word intimacy, they would automatically in their brains go towards sex. They would think I was talking about sex. What do we mean when we're talking about intimacy?
I love this, the idea of intimacy being known and being loved.
Yeah.
You know, all of us are searching for that. We all feel less than totally loved, and we feel less than totally seen. And so for healthy intimacy, especially starting with God, is to believe that he loves us, he accepts us, he sees us, that there isn't anything we could ever do that could lose his love, and there's nothing we can do to earn it, that there's just this pure, unconditional love. And so being known and being loved for who we are.
Yeah, that brings me back. I mean, as you're saying that, I can only think of Genesis 1 and 2, this Adam and Eve in the garden, completely naked.
Yes.
And I am fully convinced that when they looked at each other, it wasn't just seeing naked bodies. They were looking into each other's souls in a way. There was some sense of knowing the other's thoughts or their hearts towards one another. There was no threat there. Their nakedness didn't make them vulnerable in a way that was scary or threatening. It was a gift. And when Adam came towards Eve and Eve came toward Adam, they were coming as a gift towards one another, completely seen, completely known, completely loved. And even that invitation by God, or even God coming into the garden, was not initially something that was threatening. And then, of course, that brings us to Genesis 3. After the fall, after they'd rebelled, now all of a sudden their nakedness, their being able to see each other, becomes this threatening, dangerous thing. Their vulnerability, which was a gift, turns upside down. And then later, as God comes into the garden, they run and they hide themselves further. And I think that brings us full circle back to why are we talking about intimacy as our kind of our kickoff for this topic at Regeneration.
Often when I do guided prayer with people, one of the things that I allow them to do is to use their imagination to be with Jesus. And one of the things that I always encourage them to do is to imagine that when Jesus comes into the scene, that he sees you, that he looks at you and he sees you. He knows you, he sees you, he accepts you. Imagine what that's like to be seen and known and loved in this way. And for a lot of time, for a lot of people, that's the first time that they've experienced what that's like to be seen and loved in that way.
So I'm thinking about Dallas Willard in Renovation of the Heart, how he there's one place where he talks about standing or sitting before the eyes of God. And I'll tell you, internally for me, I think there's some fear in that. There's some discomfort. Like, God, what do you see? And maybe not just that, but what do you see? And then what are you going to do to me or with me based on what you see. Mm-hmm. And that comes back, I think, to this, what you were saying earlier about like the connection between, okay, I'm here because I've got this struggle with pornography. I'm here because I've got this sexual struggle. I'm here because of this stuff that's happened in my life. But on a very basic level, we're wrestling with this sense of intimacy with God. So let me ask you next question. I think a lot of people would hear that and as Christians and say, well, of course, intimacy with God. That's really, really important. I've got intimacy with God. I've had a relationship with God since I was 3 years old. And it's been growing ever since. That doesn't seem to be my problem. My problem is this other stuff. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to that?
We live in our heads. You know, so much of our faith is what we've heard and what we, what it's all in our mind and it isn't in our hearts. And so a lot of times what we end up talking about, and this is certainly true for me too, is I have these ideas about God and some of them are actually wrong, but I have these ideas about God. I think about God in certain ways. I've heard these things about God, but I don't really believe them. I haven't experienced his love. And so if I haven't experienced his love, then I'm really very vulnerable to this not being something that's going to play out well in my life. And so a lot of times we talk about, so what do you really believe about God? Who do you really think he is? And how do you think he sees you? And there's a lot of lies. So, just depending on our mind and how we think about things isn't going to allow us to fully experience God and to receive the love that he has for us.
Yeah, yeah. A man who mentored me for many years and was just such a blessing when it came to really listening. And one of the guys I think I felt most seen and heard by up to that point in my life, he shared about when he was younger, somebody gave him an exercise. They said, I want you to sit down. I want you to write down everything you know about God. And he sat down and he filled this piece of paper with, God is loving, God is faithful, God is omnipresent, da, da, da. Just thing after thing after thing after thing. And then this mentor of his, when he got done, he said, okay, now flip the page over and I want you to write down everything you feel about God. Mm. And first of all, it was a shorter list, but it was also that there were things that he wrote there that were in contradiction to the things on the front side of the sheet. And I remember that story all these years because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can relate with that. That's just so true. What I know about God to be true, know in my head to be true, my heart doesn't know.
Yeah.
Somebody said something to the effect once, like the longest distance there is on the earth is the distance between our heads and our hearts. And God is after not just our heads, but our hearts, our bodies, our full experience. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just your heads.
And there's blockages between our head and our heart, that the enemy puts there, that lies put there, that strongholds come, We have experiences that hurt us, The greatest wounds happen between 1 and 18 in our lives, and a lot of times we're not even aware of them. But there are these things that create strongholds that actually block us from receiving God's love, and we have to pray through that. We have to find out, what are those lies? What are those things that you don't even know you're operating on to be able to get that freedom moving from your head to your heart?
Yeah. And so this again brings me back to, okay, I've got to struggle with some type of sexual sin or some type of sexual temptation. And then intimacy as a part of both the problem underneath it for me and also a part of the solution. Because I know in my life, and I know in lots of the men and women I've worked with and walked with over the years, they've gone searching for something sexual because there's this deep longing for intimacy. But we can do that even without being aware of it. Our heads are saying, "Well, I'm close to God. My head knows that God is close, but if my heart doesn't feel close, if my body feels rejected, or if I'm struggling in that regard, then where am I going to take that longing?" Mm-hmm. How have you seen that as you're walking with women in the ministry?
So if we have this deep desire and need for approval, for acceptance, for love, for affection, and we don't believe that God can give it to us, we don't understand that's who he is, we haven't allowed ourselves to experience it or receive it, then we start looking for it in every other place. And in this world and in this culture, there's lots of places we can think and be fooled that we can get it met by.
Yeah.
Sex is a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big, it's like, oh, okay, well, I know what men want, or I know what women want, you know? I mean, like, I, if I give myself to that, then I'll finally get what I'm looking for. Or it could be, it doesn't even have to be sexual. It can be, you know, emotional dependency or material things, you know, but we're always, we're just looking for love in all the wrong places because we don't know the real thing. And so we're just constantly looking for the thing that might, finally alleviate that pain and that longing. And because the culture is the way it is, sex is an easy, you know, appears like an easy way to get it. And of course it never really sufficiently meets that need.
Yeah. All right. We're definitely gonna come back to that because, I think in another podcast, because that is so central to so much of what we do and so central to so much of the, of how we seek to walk with people here.
Yeah.
So coming back to this, the intimacy with God piece, I said a minute ago that I feel this longing for intimacy with God. I know that. I've known that since I was young. And at the same time, there is this, when it comes right down to it, the idea of standing naked, in at least in a metaphorical way, before the eyes of God produces in me a fear. And I know I'm not the only one. As I sit down with men in my office and we talk about their relationship with God, we'll have questions about, you know, even like how's your daily devotions going, or how your daily quiet times. And it's not because, you know, there's some rule book that says you have to do that every day, but to hear people say, well, you know, my relationship with God, my personal times with him are few and far between. And I say, well, what's that about? And the number one answer I get is I just need more discipline. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually not true. I think a lot of people that I've talked to, like, they actually have discipline in their lives in other areas. They're not lacking discipline. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions I've asked people is, what do you expect God is going to do or say, or how do you expect God is going to be with you when you sit down to spend time with him? Mm-hmm. Because I think part of what we're trying to get after is like the other side of that piece of paper. What do you feel about God? So Kit, what are some ways that you would recommend for people? Okay, I want to grow in my intimacy with God, not just in my heads, but in my heart.
Yeah.
What do we do? What would you say?
Well, one of the first things that comes to my mind is I say to them, I say this to myself, what do I enjoy doing? What gives me life? What gives me joy? And then invite God into it. And so for me, I love walking in the woods. I love being in nature. And so sitting down and reading scripture can be a beautiful thing, and I love doing that. But for me, the easiest thing is for me to go into nature, to be in the woods, and then invite God there. And just imagine that we're doing it together. And different people have different things. Some people are artists, and they find, you know, sitting down and drawing a picture or even doing crafts or something. And so I say invite God into that.
So that is so, I think, counterintuitive. So good, and so counterintuitive to many of us. Like, there's the sense of like, well, no, what God wants, what God really enjoys doing with me is sitting down and have an academic study of what Scripture teaches. And the idea of like, well, wait, you know, what I really love to do right now is I'd love to sit down and watch my favorite movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that can almost feel scandalous. Like, you know, well, I can't invite God into that. Like, that's not what he likes to do. He wants me to be very serious all the time. And we forget that, like, one, God is the God who is a God of joy. He created joy. He created nature. He created good stories. He created good taste and flavor and art. Yep. Those things that help us to come alive.
And speaking of good stories, sometimes we sit down and we read scripture like a textbook, and really it's a love story. And so how do we invite God into that story? How do we invite ourselves into God's story? So a lot of times what we'll do with the scripture story is I'll invite the person to imagine themselves in it and imagine, you know, Jesus responding to them in the gospel story. So once again, you get this experience of God. You get to read a story, enjoy a story versus just, you know, read it for knowledge and information. And then you get to like receive the love that God has for you as you imagine experiencing Jesus in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, one of I love what John Eldridge says when he says scripture is not a bunch of stories that are exceptions to the rule. They're a bunch of stories that are examples to the rule. And so I think when we go back into scripture and we insert ourselves into the stories or imagine ourselves there, or even ask those questions, like, who would I be in this story? I think it gives us a very specific, well, and here's how Jesus responded in that situation.
And then the other thing, you know, the Lectio Divina, sacred reading, like Isaiah 43 is one I use a lot with people when they come in and they're like, I don't really believe that God really cares about me. And, you know, when you say, I will be with you, I will be with you in the waters, I will be with you in the fire. And it's so common that people experience really the love of God through those scripture readings. When you meditate on it and you read it and you know, you're precious and honored in my sight. And sometimes for the first time, a person will receive the word of God in love.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the passages, I think, as an adult that hit me, that I must have read before as I read through the pages of scripture, but when Jesus says in the beginning of the book of John, or towards the beginning of the book of John, he says to the Pharisees, who are experts at scripture, they knew scripture backwards and forward, they memorized more scripture than most of us ever will in our lifetime, said to them, you search the scriptures because you believe that in them you have life, and yet they speak of me and you refuse to come to me. Like, I think the scripture has this invitational place of like, God is, he will meet us here. He's like, these words are here for us because he desires intimacy with us.
Yes.
As opposed to, I think, which that kind of split head and heart thing says, well, I read scripture so that I can learn more about God, or I read scripture because God wants me to, and I want to just please him. And both those things are true. We read scripture, we'll learn more about God, and it does please God when we read scripture, but not just because it's something we check off our list. He is with us and wants to be with us, and even kind of come through the words on the page into this intimate moment through scripture. Yes. One of the other things I wanted to say, and I'm just kind of learning more about this as an adult, but that what I said before about standing before the eyes of God and that part of me that feels a bit of fear about how he's going to respond to me or what he's going to bring, I'm learning to let that be, to not run from that. Has even if I'm not experiencing in that moment some kind of breakthrough or you know, word from the Holy Spirit that kind of shatters, you know, the moment and leaves me in a different place that's really, really good. Even just being willing to sit with my discomfort in God's presence, I think has been something that's kind of later in life for me, but has been a really helpful, nurturing thing for me. So there's something, and that goes back to the disciplines of silence and solitude.
Yes.
So we're going to have to wrap this up, and I want to wrap it up by coming back to, we've talked about intimacy with God. How does that connect? How does intimacy with God for us, do you think, connect with intimacy that we can experience, that relational intimacy, that knowing and being known with other people?
I think that when we are not receiving God's love and believing it and experience it, then we look to God, we look to other people for what only God can give us.
Yep.
And so we make demands on them, and you know, it's very threatening, because you're actually looking to somebody to give you your identity and your sense of security, and no one can do that, and it's too much to ask. And so to be able to, you know, to realize the truth that only God can give you a sense of well-being and a sense of security. Only God can do that. And so the more that you can receive that, then you're free to receive the gift of a good relationship, the gift of a spouse or a friend or a child, but you're not needing it. You're not desperate for it. You're not making demands on them.
Yeah. Or the reverse of that, you're also not necessarily running from those relationships.
Right.
I know that one of my tendencies has been isolation. Mm-hmm. And if I'm isolated, then no one can reject me. If I pull away from people, then I'm not making myself vulnerable in ways that I can experience pain and rejection and betrayal or whatever else.
Right.
And the irony with all of this is that I think, in my experience, deepening intimacy with God, deepening intimacy with other people, requires those risks of vulnerability with real other people. I mean, even as you're describing, these spiritual exercises with people who come to regeneration, I think that's one of those risky places where we find whole enough others or safe enough others to begin experiencing, being able to voice the truth of what we're wrestling with, and being able to walk with them to experience something different than what we've experienced before.
Yes.
So it's kind of this both and thing of like, we seek to grow in intimacy with Jesus so that we can be healthier in our relationships, and we seek to be entering into relationships that are healthy so that we can grow in our relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is part of what it means to be a human being. So mm-hmm. there's so much more we can say about that. Kit, thank you so much for your time today. I'm excited about the conversations we're going to have in the future about mm-hmm. intimacy and other things.
Yeah, it's been great, Josh. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening today. We hope what you heard will be helpful to you in your journey. If you or a friend or loved one want to go deeper into these topics, please know that Regeneration also offers spiritual coaching and intensive support group programs for men and women seeking sexual and relational wholeness, both in the Baltimore areas and in Northern Virginia. Also, none of this would be possible without the help of our donors. So if you feel like you've benefited and want to support the work that we're doing, please go to regenerationministries.org/donate, or you can just go to our website and click the donate button. Thanks again, and we look forward to talking again with you next week.